Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Christopher Marr. He's the chairman and CEO of Ocean First Financial and a valued friend of the show. Chris, welcome back.
Good to see you, Jeff.
Good to see you too. Thanks for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it. Now, you always have really good insights into the economy and the business climate. So I'd like to get some sense of where you think we are right now. And I want to start with lending, particularly commercial lending. Interest rates seem to have stopped rising, at least for the moment. What does the market look like now from your perspective, from a banker's perspective?
You know, I think it's starting to look a little bit stronger than we saw it during last year for a couple of reasons. I think people are getting used to the new kind of rate structures.
Okay.
Commercial borrowers are anxious to make investments. Rates have come down a little bit off their highs in the third and fourth quarter of last year. So there's kind of a building optimism, and we think it's going to be a stronger year for the economy. And I think lending is looking very good this year.
Okay. Well, you sort of started to talk about the next question, which was what you're hearing from your clients and customers about their borrowing plans. Sounds like they're optimistic they're going to really sort of start to ramp up for the rest of the year, or is that too much saying too much? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, no, I think they are optimistic. I think you can see that in the recent consumer sentiment survey and this kind of belief that, you know, inflation is abating, maybe we have this soft landing. So, you know, our clients that are considering making investments in their operating businesses are feeling better, even though the rates are a little bit higher than they've been. And we're seeing a lot of continued investment in the residential space because we still have a tremendous issue with supply and the availability of housing. So we're seeing commercial clients and operating businesses, developers, and we're starting to see a little more investment in residential real estate.
Okay, well, that's interesting you talk about residential, because that the sort of conventional wisdom had been that it was a combination of higher interest rates and the lack of inventory, which was kind of circular, because the sense was that people who owned houses didn't really and had locked in really low mortgages weren't interested in moving and putting their house on the market. What I hear you saying is that people really are starting to think a little bit more about moving around. Or again, is that an accurate assessment?
Yeah, we've seen a slight increase in the number of transactions. So that got very low because, as you point out, I think what people fail to understand is if you have a 2 or 3% mortgage, you're not going to be all that interested in selling your house to take on a 6 or 7% mortgage. So we are seeing a little bit more supply come in. The new builders, the new product has really been carrying the market over the last year, but there's still a pretty acute affordability issue. And that's not going to be solved until we simply just have more units. So we're seeing, you know, it's a little bit harder in the Northeast and in places like New Jersey to go get, you know, zoning and permits and all that. But we are seeing an interest in new buildouts. And really, that's what we're going to need. We're going to need to see more supply. We just have too much demand and not enough supply. But you are starting to see a little more volume, and you're seeing people say, well, you know what? I don't want to borrow money at 6%, but, you know, maybe I've had my third child or something, and or I'm working from home and I really just need the extra space. So I'm going to take the time and make sure that, you know, I'll deal with the 6% and hope that I can refinance at some point in the next few years.
Okay, so the dynamics are really changing. I mean, you're seeing that happening as we speak, pretty much.
Yeah, I think it was very important that mortgage rates came down a little bit when they were in the mid to high sevens. That was really giving people sticker shock. And not that the high sixes is much better than that. But I think from the folks we've talked to, they're a little bit more willing to go out, make that commitment on a house. They kind of feel like this may be their best chance. So when, you know, the spring market is upon us now, it starts, you know, pretty much right around now. So we're going to see how much inventory comes to market.
Okay.
And we'll know a lot more in the next 8 weeks or so.
Right. And I think the home builders would like to hear that, like to hear the fact that we need more inventory, that supply needs to go up. Is that something realistic given where we are now in terms of this state and the way we do things here?
Yeah. The real challenge we have in New Jersey, we're not unlike many of these kind of Northeastern or older communities where a lot of the available land has been used and where there's a significant debate over what to do with the remaining land and, you know, how do you want to deploy it? So it is much harder to get a building permit in New Jersey than it is, say, in Texas or other places.
Sure.
Now, the only positive to that is you are starting to see a little bit of softness in those markets around multifamily projects. And the markets I'm referring to are more people who typically call them the sand states. So Arizona, Texas, California, Florida. A little bit more softness because maybe they've overbuilt a little bit, We do not have that issue here in New Jersey. So thankfully, we see stable prices in residential real estate.
Okay. And a lot of what we come back to, what we're talking about is almost sounds like a sort of an attitudinal or psychological approach to it. And what we've been talking about when we've talked in recent weeks and recent months about the headwinds that people feel or the sort of the real problems that people are facing, that's inflation, geopolitical uncertainty, the possibility of a recession. A lot of that, with the exception of war, seems to have ebbed a little bit. Are you getting the sense that folks are? It sounds like you're getting the sense that folks are a little bit more confident about those other things, about inflation and about the possibility of a recession. You mentioned that it looks like we may have a soft landing. It doesn't look like we're going to have a recession anytime soon. Is that adding to the optimism that and the confidence that you're picking up?
I think you're spot on, Jeff. We're seeing a couple things. So first, the job market is very strong. Mm-hmm. Second, for the first time in a long time, inflation has come down and wages have come up. So you're seeing a little bit of a recovery where the real wage is kind of coming up a little bit over the past year. That gives consumers purchasing power. And we're seeing in the year-end data out of banks that the consumers actually strengthened in the fourth quarter. So there was a little bit of a concern that these student loan repayments starting up again, little higher rates on credit cards, the higher mortgage rates would sap the consumer. But, through most of the year-end bank reports ending, 12/31, you're seeing a consumer that actually has liquidity, is doing okay, willing to spend it, go on vacation, go out, go to the restaurant, and increasingly, saying, hey, I'll buy that house, even though I may have to pay a rate with a six handle on it.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting to see how that develops, because some of the polls, as I'm sure you've seen, about when pollsters ask folks about the economy, there's still a little bit of hesitance there that they're picking up.
Yeah, I think what they're picking up on is a very real concern about the erosion of purchasing power. So for most of our community, they were really impacted terribly by inflation. And, when you think about whether it's the cost of eggs or the cost of housing, those costs are not going to come down.
Right.
Now, they're not going up as fast, which is great, but it's not like the cost of eggs is getting cheaper. So many, many people actually had a negative experience in their own financial health over the last, 3, 4, 5 years as inflation really eroded their purchasing power. So it's getting a little better now. People are feeling a little more confident. But I think that concern is about their net financial being, which was, really hurt by inflation.
Okay. Well, that concern leads to the next question. I mean, is the optimism, the confidence warranted? Is there something out there or is there likely to be something? Do you foresee something in the near future that could change all of that folks should really be worried about? Not just individuals and families, but businesses as well. Is there some sort of emerging challenge that folks need to be aware of?
Yeah, I think one of the very positive things we're seeing is that the productivity rate in the economy is improving. So workers are becoming more and more productive.
Okay.
That has been a little bit of a surprise. That allows wages to come up a little faster, and that's the optimistic side. On the pessimistic side, we still have one eye open. You've got to watch out for geopolitical issues, as we've seen in Ukraine and in the Middle East, very difficult situations. The situation around international shipping, you're seeing the price of shipping go up in two ways. The actual container costs more, and then to insure it is much more expensive because of the issues that we've had with ships, predominantly in the Red Sea, but elsewhere in the world. So it's too early to call inflation over. We really have to watch where the cost of housing, the cost of energy, the cost of transportation goes. But there have been very good signs that we're sustaining a strong employment market without having kind of runaway wage inflation. And inflation is coming down, but there's still inflation, right? Things cost more today than they did last year.
All right. And what we in terms of uncertainty, we do have some big elections coming up, national elections this year, gubernatorial election next year. Regardless of who you want to win those elections, elections always bring uncertainty and you don't know who's going to win. Do you get the sense that uncertainty might be a drag at some point? That is, again, talking specifically about businesses, we're a little bit more sensitive to some of the regulatory and tax changes that may come with a change of administration. How do you think that might play out over the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think you used exactly the right word. It's uncertainty, and uncertainty causes people to delay decisions, whether that's buying a house, a car, making an investment in their business. And I don't think anybody would argue that we're facing more uncertainty in the election cycle this year than we have in prior years. But every time we have a presidential election cycle, there's a little bit of this uncertainty.
Right.
And that builds over the course of the year. As we get closer and the election becomes more imminent, and you've got the conventions over the summer, I think there's a lot of opportunity in the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter, for distraction and concern to get in the way of some of this these economic decisions. So we're going to have to watch it closely. I think that's one of the reasons that most folks believe the back half of the year will be slower than the front half of the year.
Okay.
But there's nothing to indicate that there would be a significant issue. Of course, depending on who you want to win the White House,
right.
A whole bunch of other discussions we could have that I won't tread into that water.
No, I won't either. I won't ask you to do that. I don't want to do that myself. But there's nothing anybody can really do about that. I mean, it's uncertainty is uncertainty until this is all settled. There's really nothing you can do if you're not willing to make decisions because you're not sure of what's going to happen. There's really no way to head that off in any way.
You just have to wait and get through it, right? And hope right. for the lowest possible level of drama. I don't know what that is, but the lowest possible level of drama. But I would say that, you know, going into this year with a strong base, good economy, good employment numbers, inflation coming down, that gives us a little bit of a latitude to tolerate a little bit of indecision among consumers and businesses, but not a lot. And, you know, we really haven't been talking much about the fiscal plans for the country, right?
Right.
And that has a big impact on, you know, government spending is a big part of our economy.
Right.
Depending on who you talk to, too big or not big enough. But, you know, that has very real ramifications as we look at, we really have not resolved how to spend money at the federal level this year. We just keep kind of kicking the can down the road.
Right.
That's a very unhealthy situation.
Okay. By the same token, there's been a lot, especially in New Jersey. In fact, I've been having this conversation over the past couple of weeks. The influx of federal infrastructure dollars. Are you seeing that ripple through the economy still, has that started yet? I get rather than saying is it still rippling? Has it started to have an effect at this point?
Yeah, we're actually starting to see those dollars hit. So I think it's very hard for folks to understand that when the dollars are appropriated, which was 2 or 3 years ago. It takes a while to get permits in line, to get the contracts awarded, to get people actually out and working. And we have some very large projects here in New Jersey, well overdue, you know, the Hudson River Tunnel and other projects. It's nice to see us actually, you know, going at that infrastructure. That's another reason you could feel, you know, pretty good about the economy going into this year. There's a certain amount of kind of jobs and investment that we're going to see just out of that spending.
Okay. Yeah. I was actually talking to someone just this morning. And I asked him, this is a person who runs a civil engineering firm, about whether he was talking about the fact that a lot of that money has already been allocated. And I asked him whether there was actually shovels in the ground now. And he said, yes, indeed, there are. So people should start to be seeing that fairly soon.
Yeah. And one of the big questions is, will that result in any incremental inflation? You know, some of these projects are massive. You have thousands of workers. You have an enormous content of steel. And the steel, you know, has to be domestically produced. That puts pressure on domestic steel production. But then, you know, when you have big projects, you have both sides of it, right? We have the start and stop on the wind farms, which were tremendously economically advantageous during the building stage, right? I won't get into the, you know, what is the power cost and that whole discussion. But these were massive projects that would have employed thousands of people. You had one kind of delayed, one canceled. It looks like one's starting up, but they will kind of swing around the amount of infrastructure investment we do this year.
Okay. Well, it's since we're talking about offshore wind, let's talk about a little bit of the chore. It's still winter, but I don't think it's ever too early to sort of begin to talk about what the summer tourist season was like. You do a lot of work down in that region. What are you expecting? What are you hearing? Are people optimistic about the season coming up?
Yeah, it was. In fact, it's funny you asked, Jeff. I was with one of our best clients yesterday, who runs a seasonal hospitality business at the shore, and he tracks reservations every week. You know, this week, this year, this week, last year. Where is he? And he said reservations are ahead of where they were for last summer as of today.
Okay.
So that's a good sign. And we're seeing consistently strong numbers around property values up and down the shore.
Okay.
You know, one thing I think that's going to stick from the pandemic is that, you know, our shore is a great place for people to spend a little more time even if they commute to New York or Philadelphia and spend a few days in the office and a few days at home, the net beneficiary of that is New Jersey.
Absolutely. If you don't have to get on a train every day, being a little bit farther away from Penn Station or from 30th Street Station probably makes the shore much more attractive. So you're still seeing that. I mean, we've talked a lot about that, about the pandemic effect on property values at the shore. That's still that it's and it sounds more or less permanent, because if unless we go back to the everybody on the train 5 days a week, which it doesn't sound like it's going to happen, that's more or less permanent.
Yeah, we think it's permanent. We think that there's no chance that people are going to be 5 days a week everywhere all the time. Although I will say that the one other piece of feedback I got is that labor constraints will continue to be an issue. And if you remember over the last couple seasons, we had clients that would close their restaurants, for example, on Monday, Tuesday, and sometimes Wednesday night, because they couldn't run the restaurant 7 nights a week. They just didn't have enough staff. So they were running it on the busy days and on the weekends and things like that. So labor availability is a big issue, but that would be kind of the gating issue. There's a demand for services, and so far, it's very early in the season, but so far rental rates look strong.
I've actually heard the same thing. I was actually surprised to hear that labor issues continue, and that it's expected to get even worse as baby boomers sort of age out and move into continue to move into retirement age. It's They're very difficult to replace all of that.
Yeah,
That
especially.
being the largest cohort of workers, really.
Oh yeah, and the peak baby this year is the peak year of baby boomer retirements. After this, it kind of tails off a little bit.
Okay.
But we're seeing a couple industries, healthcare, very significant issues there, and hospitality. And these are jobs that are notoriously difficult to automate. So, AI is a wonderful opportunity, probably help us in a lot of different ways.
Okay.
It's not going to take care of your elderly parent, right? You need to have somebody there that's taking care. It could be whether that's, daily care, feeding, bathing, clothing, that kind of stuff. So, we need these jobs, we need these professionals, and it's going to be a real challenge. It's only going to get worse over the next year or two.
Okay. So, how about Ocean First? What does the year ahead look like for you and your team? What are you expecting? What are you
Yeah.
anticipating?
Well, first, we're really proud. We came through what was a reasonably tumultuous year last year for the banking industry. We came
Right.
out pretty well. We have great clients. They understood and value us. So we had a good year. A little more than $104 million in earnings last year, among one of our best years ever. And as we look forward into next year, we think this is an opportunity for us to kind of lean in with our clients, pick up the pace a little bit in terms of bringing on new clients, new deposits, new loans. I just continue to grow the bank, but we're squarely focused. New Jersey is our biggest and our most important market. We plan to grow here. We added a number of bankers over the course of the last year. We'll add more bankers this year, and we'll continue to build out our operations in New York, Philadelphia, Boston, and Baltimore as well. So we're looking forward to the year, and hopefully a little bit more stable and less drama than we saw last year in the banking industry.
Okay, well, I was going to then ask you about the industry as a whole. I mean, a tumultuous year last year. What are you hearing from your peers, from your colleagues about what they expect?
The industry is in great shape, and if you look at capital levels and where credit is and loan quality, you're seeing really really strong balance sheets and a very strong banking sector. You are continuing to see select banks have some issues that may have either managed interest rate risk a little bit bad, or they may have managed their credit risk and kind of got too much of a single asset. So those are the exceptions today, though. So I think we're still going to see a little bit of spot weakness here and there. But that would be limited to banks who either had an interest rate issue in the past or created a concentration of credits in a geography and of a type that might be an issue. We talked about, multifamily in some markets, certainly not New Jersey, but in some markets can be an issue. Rent stabilized multifamily has kind of raised its head a little bit in certain markets. Office, if you had a big concentration of central business district office, these kind of high-rise glass buildings, those can be a challenge. But by and large, the industry's done quite well. Banks in New Jersey are very healthy. But I think we're still going to see a headline now and again that someone got a little bit over their skis.
Okay. All right. Well, since I've got you, I wanted to ask you about a couple of current events or news items. First, from the national level, the CFPB's proposed rule on overdraft fees. Concerned about that? Is that how is Ocean First going to deal with that if it happens?
Our concern is always with our clients, right? To make sure that they have the opportunity to do what they need to do to manage their cash flow. So We welcome responsible regulation and work with our regulators. So we're kind of digesting this. We'll make sure that obviously we'll be in compliance with it. What's important to us though, Jeff, is that we want to make sure consumers retain the choice, right? We want to give them the option. And there are cases where people have a small need to overdraft for one reason or another. We just want to make sure that it's a responsible choice for those consumers, and we're allowing them to do that in a way that's helpful to them. And there's all sorts of great tools coming out that will help, I think, satisfy their regulatory concerns, but also enable our customers to make their own choices about how to fund when they're short on funds, what to do about that. So look, we're gonna have to work within the new rules, but I don't think they make a big difference for businesses like ours.
Okay. And second, on the state level, we had a story this morning about the whole idea of a public bank, which has sort of been kicking around for about 5 years now, I think. There's now a step forward with a sort of some more or less a concrete proposal, the idea being to increase access to capital. Is that something you think is necessary, useful, not necessary, unuseful? Where do you come down on the idea of a public bank?
Well, first, I would say that access to capital is a critical need. And there's certainly, from a lot of different surveys you would read, there's certainly an unequal access that we have to work together to make sure is better. The state has a lot of programs today. They have the EDA, for example, is a wonderful program. They have other lending programs. Mm-hmm. There are almost 90 banks headquartered here in New Jersey. We all have lending programs. So I think that anything that improves capital access for all of our citizens is a good thing. So happy to engage in that. I think one of the most important facets of that report that came out was that the function should not be a deposit taking function. So that was pretty important to us. I think it's once you start taking deposits and acting like a bank, you're going to create potential risk for the state. And, I would leave that to the banks, the credit unions, and the folks that, take money and lend money every day. So we'd welcome discussion around capital access and ways we can improve it. Happy to cooperate. I think the industry would love to cooperate with what the state's trying to do and to make sure the access is out there. But I think the business of banking, and we've seen this in the last year, you can get yourself in a heap of trouble really quickly if you're not experienced at it. So I think that these recommendations make more sense to me than the original construct of the bank.
Okay. Well, as I said, it's been kicking around for a while, so who knows where or when that's going to go. Finally, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about something that we didn't talk about last time, but we probably should have, and that is that last summer you were named chairman of the board of trustees at Monmouth University. Yes. You've been involved with the school for a long time. What does that mean to you to have this role now, and what do you hope to accomplish?
Well, I tell you a few things, Jeff. First, I'm a huge believer that education is the opportunity to level the playing field for all of us, for every generation. So we can't do enough to invest in the future of our youth. Mm-hmm. And I think having a vibrant university system that includes private and public university options is critically important. I think these universities also provide exceptional community anchors where they bring scholarship and thought and discussion and debate into our communities in a very positive way. So I'm pleased to have the opportunity to work with Monmouth in that way. I think it's a gem of New Jersey. And I think, our goal there is to make sure that we're bringing that Monmouth experience to as many students as we can. And, look, one of the things that's very unique about Monmouth is that we serve among the highest level of first generation or low income students. So that we call them FLY students. Those students would represent more than half of our incoming class this year is either a first generation student or a low income student. So I'm very pleased and honored to have that opportunity. And I think you're going to see exciting things out of Monmouth in the year ahead.
Okay. Well, we will look for them. Congratulations on that. And we will check back in, certainly, I hope.
All right. All right, Jeff.
Chris Maher, Chairman and CEO of Ocean First Financial. Thank you very much for joining me again. And I'm sure we'll talk again soon. I hope so.
Right. Anyway. Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
Thank you. And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.